Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a slightly late episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. I hope you guys have had a great week so far. Apologies again for the podcast not being out on time. If you're following me over on the social medias, over on Blue Sky at w1studios.bsky.social, you would have seen that the last couple of days have been a little weird. And just kind of got caught behind the eight ball and just did not manage to get it done. There's no excuse. There's no real good, quote unquote, reason for it. Shit just ain't work out. That's the best way I can say it. It's probably not the most polite or genteel way I can say it, but it's the best way I can say it. She just got out of control and I got behind, and I apologize. I hope you guys will not hold that against me, but check out the episode anyway, even though it is a little bit late. Thank you all for all the support out there on Patreon. I found a couple of Patreon episodes that I want to do and some topics I want to drill down into. And thankfully, because I've been taking this little hiatus from doing my normal game streaming stuff, I've had a little bit of time to develop some ideas, take some rest. I've just been so freaking tired lately. Just run down is probably the best way to put it. I feel like I've been drained or drugged almost every damn night. Like, no matter how well I get to, no matter how early I get to bed, no matter how well it feels like I've slept, I'm just constantly tired. And it's an awful way to exist, you know? Nothing I can tell is physically wrong outside of the fact that I obviously need to go to the dentist and I need to go need to go see an ENT and get just a regular checkup, you know? Like old people shit. I gotta do that. But, you know, outside of that, like, otherwise I'm mostly fine. Trying out some stuff in the kitchen, which I'm talking about in a little bit. But, yeah, mostly health-wise, I feel okay. It's just been weird that certain things I can eat will still activate my stomach for no reason. And I don't understand what that is or where that's coming from. Some days I can eat the, you know, same whatever kind of stuff I would normally eat and then I'm fine. And then other days I can have like a spoonful of something and it's just like, oh, I'm sick for the rest of the day. And it sucks. Matter of fact, here's a fun thing. I like these, I don't know what their brand name is called. Anyway, it's like a Winn-Dixie brand of like fruit popsicles, right? I don't really do a lot of sweets and sugar. I don't like a lot of ice cream and candy, cake, and all that jazz, but like every now and again, you want a little sweet treat, right? So I figured if I get something that's made with like fruit and fruit juice, even if it is sugary, at least it's mostly fruit and it'll be fine. I want to try something a little different. You know, I usually get like, there's like a strawberry colada and a pina colada one that I really like because it's made with like coconut milk. And I'm like, that's actually my jam. There's a mango version, which I think is delicious. And I love that. Sprinkle a little bit of tajin powder on it for a little bit of extra zhuzh. Or if you can handle it, like a little bit of the tajin chamoy. It's like a, they have like a peach one. I don't know if they have peach and mango, but I know they have like a peach one. It's like a hot sauce basically. But if you can handle it, a little dollop of that on a popsicle is actually pretty good, especially a mango one. So yeah, I'm getting these popsicles and I see one that's like a lime flavored one. I'm like, maybe not the coolest flavor in the world to just be snacking on, right? But I'm like, you know what? I'll try this. It'll be something different, you know, and if I don't like it, I don't like it. And I will preface this, though, by saying that, like, over the previous couple of days, I've been having, like, the weirdest struggles. Like I said, it would be like I would eat all the stuff that's normally safe, quote-unquote, and clean for me to eat. But then my stomach would just activate and I'd just be miserable all night long. Or I would be trying to make something and it would just be a complete disaster, which I'm going to discuss some more in just a minute, like I said. But this had been like in the middle of like a 3-day run of this. And I was just getting really tired and frustrated and just honestly quite down and depressed and angry about it. So I'm thinking, you know what, I'm going to just do something to kind of like help settle my stomach. Maybe I have one of these little lime popsicles and it'll be fine. I'm going through this popsicle. We were watching a TV or a movie or something. And after a while, I feel like this stinging, like I bit the inside of my lip and got lemon juice on it. I'm like, but I didn't. So what's going on? And then before I realize it, before I really clock what's going on, I'm about like 2/3 of the way through this popsicle. And the inside of my upper lip is just on fire. It's burning. It's burning like I set it on the stove. And my tongue is actually burning too. So I'm like, what in the fuck is happening? Like, I didn't have anything that I normally wouldn't have except for this popsicle. Are you telling me that there's something in this thing that's like literally giving me like an allergic reaction to it? I haven't touched them since. And my lip burned like almost the entire night into the next day. And I was just treating it just like, you know, you would if you got like maybe a cold sore. Like when you're a little kid and you're funky with your fingers and shit and you get thrush in your mouth. I did the same kind of thing. Just gargling with like salt water or like a little bit of diluted hydrogen peroxide, which hurts like a mother, I'll tell you that. But it eventually cleared up and I was just like, I'm not eating those popsicles again. If I didn't feel horrible about throwing away, I would have thrown them away already. But yeah, it was just... It was a weird-ass experience. Like I said, then the whole week was like that. I couldn't tell what was going to be the thing that was going to set it off next. And that was what was really disturbing, was I wanted to enjoy stuff, and I wanted to try new things, and everything just failed miserably. I was trying to make onigiri, which I think I mentioned before. The onigiri, if you're not familiar with, it's basically like a Japanese rice ball-type snack. Usually it's like a sticky rice that's filled with some kind of, you know, sweet or savory filling and wrapped in seaweed sometimes. And I was trying to make those. I was going to make a salmon version so I could have them as like a, basically like a little light dinner, you know, get a little bit of, you know, soy sauce or something to like dip it in. Maybe make like a, I don't know, like a fish sauce or something like that, so I could, you know, use it to eat with the rice and the salmon and the onigiri. But I went to make the rice for it, and here's the thing, our rice cooker has this fun habit of either being not active enough when it comes to cooking the rice, so it comes out kind of pulpy and gummy, like paste, which is awful. Or it's too good and the rice comes out like dry. And guess which one it picked this time when I need to make rice balls that will stick together? Yeah. So the rice was like really dry. The other thing was I'm using a long grain jasmine rice, which I never heard anything that was saying one way or the other. You can't use this rice or that rice and blah, 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 blah. I also find it weird to just buy like just sushi rice for one thing when we eat rice on a regular basis. So, you know, if I can make this jasmine rice so it's got like the right sticky consistency and it'll hold together when it's shaped, then it should be fine. And I've seen people do it. It wasn't me. No matter what I tried, it just would not stick together. And I went to go and I got one that almost felt like it was going to stick together. And they were like, you know, if you really want it to get like a little bit of extra flavor, you can sear it in like a little bit of light oil to kind of crisp up the outside. And as soon as it hit the skillet, it just completely disintegrated. So basically, I just had a bowl of rice with salmon in it, like flaked salmon in it. I was kind of pissed off about that. But yeah, it seemed like everything I put my hand to, there was a couple other dishes I was trying to make, and they just fell completely apart. And I was just so frustrated. Because like, anybody who hangs out with me for long enough knows that I love cooking, you know? Even if I can't eat the stuff, I like to make food. I like to make food for people. I love the idea of creating a dish or trying a new thing, you know, in the kitchen and trying to see, hey, is this going to work? Is this going to be good? You know, can I recreate this dish that's going to be, you know, with like allergy free as possible, you know, or if I could make like a vegetarian dish because, you know, stepkids got like vegetarian, you know, diets and whatnot. I want to make something good so everybody can eat it, but it doesn't have to be like, just because it's healthy and safe for everybody to eat doesn't mean it has to be boring, right? You know, not everything has to taste like fucking napkins and cardboard for you to be safe when you eat it. So I try to mess around with that kind of stuff. And just, man, I don't know. I was taking L's that whole week. It was awful. It was absolutely terrible. And I was feeling really depressed about it. So then one day I'm like, we still need to make food. I still got to eat. So I found this recipe. If I can remember to write it down. I mean, not write it down. I just to post it up in the description. I'll send it along so you guys can try it. So it's for karage chicken, which is basically like a fried chicken. Now, they made the original recipe calls for chicken thighs, but I made it with chicken breast because it's what I had. And actually, it was weird with the way I made it. It turned out relatively well. And even to the point where, like, reheating it the next day didn't really diminish the flavor. Because, like, the one thing that's scary about, especially chicken breast, is after it's, when it's being cooked, it can dry out really badly. And it can be terrible. Really dry and flaky and, you know, stringy. This did not turn out that way at all. It's actually really nice and moist. The outside, like, the basically the fried part, like the dough or whatever, batter or whatever, fried up really nicely. It was nice and crunchy and flavorful, but it wasn't, you know, too sharp. It wasn't too gummy. It was like that perfect blend between like crisp on the outside and just a little bit moist on the inside to keep the chicken in. Oh man, it was a delight. It was a delight. I was really happy. And like, I made two batches of it and it lasted like a couple of days. And so I was really happy about that. And it felt like I just got something back. You know, like I got a step back. And it felt really cool. And I'll tell you, man, there was, because it was such a, it's always been such a thing for me to, like, you know, prepare food in general and to, you know, be good at doing that cooking thing is like a, like kind of like a part of my identity in a way. And it felt like I lost some of it. And that was adding to, you know, the obvious struggles of trying to find a job and trying to get, you know, commissions ready to do. And I mean, I got a commission just this past week. I'm working on a tattoo design for a friend. I'm really excited about it. I've been drawing a little bit more, which is starting to kick me up into like, you know what? I'm going to sit down and draw some more ideas. I got things I want to do. I want to accomplish. Let's try this. So I've been a little bit more motivated. I was just losing a step and now I'm feeling like I'm starting to get it back. Which I'd like to thank, you know, you guys for listening and stuff like that, because that definitely helps. And also my friends and family for, you know, just being patient with me, because like, it's tough sometimes when you're used to having like a certain kind of flow of ideas come through your brain at all times and just having a constant access to it. When the faucet gets turned off, it can be really scary because you start to feel like you don't know who you are anymore. And yeah, it was actually scary and frustrating because it's not who I am. And it was like taking a lot of my personality, it felt like, away from me. So yeah, I'm really excited. No, now I'm going to be posting up some rules for the commissions on Blue Sky and also on Patreon. So if you're interested in getting commissioned work, you can check out Blue Sky or Patreon. I should have everything up by the weekend. I mean, considering today is the 4th of September and it's a Thursday, by like Sunday at the latest, I'll say, I should have everything up and out there for you guys to take a look at. And then you can message me for commissions. They'll be on a first come, first served basis. So I don't like overextend myself. But yeah, I'm looking forward to doing some more of that kind of work and getting more creatively invested. And, you know, as a pursuit, you know, it's something I've always loved to do. And just over the last few years, it's just been drained out of me. I don't know what the fuck happened, but I'm trying to find a way to get it back. You know, hopefully I can get out to maybe a convention or two this year. I mean, even if I don't make it to like, you know, a far away place, maybe I can go to like something local just to get out and about and see some people, do some things, experience some new shit. That'd be cool. But yeah, I'm really stoked about that. I do need to get new clothes, though, because I was noticing that the other day. I picked up a couple of shirts that I had, you know, had for a long time. And I went to go pick up one of them, and, like, one of the sleeves has this giant hole underneath it. I'm like, when the hell did that get there? And I'm like, oh, I also realized I haven't worn some of this shit in years. And I'm like, maybe it's time to, like, switch it up. I mean, Lord knows I can't afford it. Maybe I could if I hit that Powerball. They say it's like $1.7 billion today. That would be awesome. I don't even need the Powerball. Let's put it this way. I think they, what they would do is they cut it in half if you take it all at once, which would still be over $500 million. I mean, I think at that point right now, it would be like, what would it be? Like 700, something like that. So somewhere in the neighborhood after taxes and all the whatever they take away from you, it would still be almost $750 million. I'd be fine with 75,000. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, I'd be fine with 7,500. I'd be like, yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, that's a life-changing amount. That's a life-altering amount of money for an entire community. Because if you're the guy who's like a almost near billionaire, you're changing the landscape of wherever you're sitting. I don't give a damn who you are. You're going to make something different, very different for people around you just by the fact that you exist. But yeah, I was looking at the wardrobe. I'm like, that would be the one of the things I would do. I would probably find like a local designer or a local tailor and just drop a couple stacks on them to make me a nice custom wardrobe that nobody else got this shit. Nobody else could possibly wear it. It's made just for me and my body type. I like to get some of those like, they're not quite harem pants. It's one of the ways they've been referred to, but a flowing kind of pant that I can wear around the house just to chill, but also something that's stylish enough and not like just bummy looking. Like, I love some bummy clothes just to lay around in like a mountain of flowing fabric. You know what I mean? Just there's something cool about just being able to be loose in your apparel. I've always kind of felt that way. You know, I've never really liked stuff that's too tight or confining on my body. It feels weird. But yeah, just there's some pants that I've seen. Maybe I'll see if I can find the links for those. There's these different styles of pants. And the only thing that sucks about them is like I see them and they have like this long, wide leg. It's open at the bottom. They almost look like capris, but not quite really. But they just look fresh. You know what I mean? Like, looks fashionable and stylish and like paired with the right, you know, top and, you know, maybe an accessory or two, like a hat. Like, it could be a really slick look. But I went to go and order it, and it's obviously it's from Japan. So I'm like, all right, these sizes are going to be different. And they're like, we don't make them in super American fat ass size. So I'm like, oh, they're like, my waist size isn't even that big, dude. Like, I'm bigger than I should be for my height, but I'm not like morbidly obese, you know? And I'm like, this is a normal size, right? Human beings are still made in this size. I've met Japanese people. You know, and they're not that much smaller than me. So unless you're just making this just to fit models, there's no point in me even shopping here. But they're like, yeah, we don't have that. That's considered a quadruple XL. I'm like, get the fuck out of my face. I'll find somebody here to make it. Thank you very much. If I'm going to spend this much money for it, at least I should be able to get exactly what I want. But I definitely do need to look at a new wardrobe. Maybe update with some more colors, like a more varied color palette. I got like 60, I think maybe like 45-50% of my wardrobe is black t-shirts. And I'm like, I'm not some 90s goth kid, dude. Like, I just need some different colors of shirts. I need some stuff with like maybe I should just go ahead and design put all my own designs on everything. Just put them on my merch store on my Streamlabs store. Just put that all together and be like, yeah, this is where you can get all this stuff that I'm wearing, you know? But I would like some cool design stuff. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, like a really cool design, like button down or even like pullover kind of three button shirt kind of deal that doesn't look like a normal, you know, just stock slacker ass polo. Like a couple nice jackets would be dope. I can roll with that. I really miss having boots. I used to have a great pair of boots. My mom got for me, actually. It's a pair of Caterpillar boots. And those things are awesome. You know, sturdy leather, steel plate in the bottom. Great waffle tread on them. And I couldn't bring them with me when I left Utah because there's not enough room in my case for that heavy material and, you know, whatnot. That and a duster that I got as a Christmas present. And I left them with my ex. And then she gave them away to somebody else instead of sending them to me when I asked for them. I was always a little raw about that, especially the boots. The duster, fine. You were the one that gave it to me. you want to give it to your new man, whatever, fuck it. I'll buy another one if I want one. But the boots were a gift from my mom. You had no right to give those away. You didn't have a right to give any of it away, period. But the boots really pissed me off. I'm still raw about that. And it's been like fucking 15, 20 years. Still kind of raw about that one. But yeah. Yeah, new gear. I don't even mind thrifted gear either, honestly. There's a couple of thrift stores around here. I might have to look at that. Just go thrifting one day just for the hell of it. Yeah, this is a rambling one, dude. I got nothing. I'm kind of dry on this one. I do have to say, like, I've been playing more of Destiny 2 lately for, like, gaming kind of stuff. And while I'm not sold on the way that Bungie's made so many different weird and wildly inexplicable changes to the gameplay and the game's original formula, I have to say that I am kind of intrigued by the new storyline for The Edge of Fate. And the soundtrack actually is pretty awesome too. There's a really great song that plays during a specific cutscene that we were all kind of like, what is that? And the only downside, I think, to some of this stuff is, like, a lot of times they'll be like, we need AI to concoct a sound for us, and we're wondering and hoping against hope that, like, Bungie didn't actually use AI like they did for people's voice lines in the game. But yeah, either way, this song is just really good. It sounds like it's been pulled right out of the 1970s, and that's awesome. But yeah, like, I'm really hoping that we don't keep using AI as much. Not for the fact that it also, you know, nullifies to some degree the human desire to create be creative, like to think in wild and unconventional ways that expand our understanding of art and music and culture. They cost a lot, man. They cost a lot to keep those fucking server farms running. There's one whole town, we were watching this expose thing on it, I forget, it was 60 minutes maybe, where there's a whole town that's basically been destroyed by an AI server farm that's been built there. Like, the people who are living there poorly, I think I mentioned it on a previous podcast, but this lady's living there, and she's like, though, they're going to build this thing down here, they wanted to buy our plot, we're like, no, and then we were kind of regretting that we didn't sell because the lights that are on all day, every day, like, well, all night, every night, is just like shining through their window so bright. It looks like daytime if you're standing in the door. Like, the light pollution alone, forget the amount of energy it takes to keep that thing running. Just the lights themselves are heinous. Like, it looked like sunshine on her front lawn. It was like three in the morning. We need to not be using AI the way we are using it. It's terrible. It needs to stop. The shit must come to an end. It must cease. But yeah, anyway. Gaming stuff. I was also looking at my Xbox. I have an Xbox Series X. And I love my Xbox Series X. I'm very grateful that I have it. I am not very grateful that they've, one, cut the storage size. I mean, it's the same storage size as it would be if it was a last generation console. So about like 1 to 2 terabyte hard drives in these things. But when all the games are coming in at, like, you know, 700 gigs plus, you know, like, that doesn't cut it anymore. You need to be providing like a significantly larger hard drive with these things, especially for the cost. Because here's the problem. They also made a proprietary storage card, right? So this is basically just, you guys are familiar with like a thumb drive, I'm sure, or like maybe if you're a little bit older, like a floppy disk or whatever. Essentially, this is that. It's just an external storage medium. And these SSD cards that they've created are in a partnership with a company called Seagate, who manufactured external hard disk drives for the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One console families. And I have two of those drives. One, I think, is unfortunately dead, but the other one's working just fine. But the problem was when they went forward to the Series X, they were like, you can't use those drives anymore except for just raw storage data. If you want to play the game, you have to transfer it from the drive to your console, then run it from there. And if you want to add something to your console, then you delete the old games off the console and, or send them back to the drive. I'm like, why? Who's doing all this? And why did you make it so counterintuitive and stupid? Either find a way to write from the hard drive to the console so I can play it without having to shift it over, or give me a bigger drive so I can put all my shit on one play in one location. No, they already, I'm like, we got a different idea. We're going to work with Seagate, who made those wonderful drives that have worked for years and years and years, and now we're going to make a 2 terabyte chip, and then we'll make a 4 terabyte version. Guess how much they're going to cost? The I have one of the 2 terabyte versions, and it's laughable how expensive this thing is. So available on their website, this is just coming from straight from Seagate, so you don't have to go anywhere else. They have 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte, and 4 terabyte solutions. Their 1 terabyte drive, which is not the one that I have, it's actually a 2 terabyte drive. The 1 terabyte drive is now 14% off. Woohoo! For the minuscule, you know, very reasonable, I'm being very facetious here, price of $129.99 US. That's for 1 terabyte. Anybody want to guess how much the 4 terabyte one is? That's right, Spanky. It's exactly what you thought. It's $430. The Xbox Series X alone costs about $550. So you're paying almost the entire price of a console for a 4 terabyte. This is highway robbery. And this is why regulation, like deregulating businesses and industries, is always a bad idea. Because without somebody to keep these greedy bastards in control, corporations just take the biggest bites they can and go like, you know, and they run away with a mouthful of it. You know what I mean? You ever seen like an animal like grab a bite, like on a nature program, they grab a bite of like a zebra or a gazelle or something, and then another one's like, hey man, what are you doing eating? And they run away with a mouthful of meat. That's how companies are. They just run away with mouthfuls of your pocket, though. And, you know, this, they need a whooping for this shit. The real big issue, I think, is because they made a proprietary storage medium. Like, they're like, you want to be able to buy a storage medium, this is what we got. You're going to pay out of the eyes for it. And no one's there to stop them, you know? But that's not good stewardship. You know, it's like, it's not the way you're supposed to react when you... you're given an opportunity to make a lot of money, and you would, but instead you do it in the most slimy way possible and at the expense of the very base that's there to help you make the money. It doesn't make any sense to me. I do think that it's crazy that it happens. I hate that it's a thing that we have to deal with. But again, I think we kind of like pigeonhole ourselves by, you know, being loyalists to a brand. And I'm part of the problem in a way, because like I always felt like for the longest time, and it was actually viable and true, Xbox did provide the best bang for your buck with, you know, Game Pass and Gold with and Games with Gold, the gigantic backwards compatible library of games that they had available. So like you actually had it built in value. So even if you didn't own a game from back in the day, sometimes it would show up for free, or you could get it for really cheap. And then, of course, you know, they got greedy and they're starting to do the thing that Sony does a lot, which is rake you over the coals for every version of everything they ever make ever. And it's unfortunate. But it is funny when you see some pushback, and that's going to bring me to the bad game review. I'm going to try to do one of these maybe every week. I'm going to find a game that's getting really bad reviews. I'm going to try to find one of the funniest reviews that I can find and read that to you guys. This is for a game called Delta Force. And Delta Force is a free-to-play, first-person military simulation shooter. And it's basically a revamped edition, I think, if I remember correctly. It's a revamped version of an old game called Black Hawk Down. They actually included the Black Hawk Down campaign mode with this game, because this particular free-to-play game is more of like a team-based shooter. So it's a multiplayer online shooter. But they also have a solo campaign that you can run through, which is based off an older game. and this game, oh man, this game is getting absolutely wrecked, like, in the review space. Like, I guess they did an edition of this that was on mobile and also on PC, and they ported it over to Xbox, and people were, like, really excited about the mobile game, which I don't know how you could be. It kind of makes me feel like some of those mobile game reviewer people were, like, paid bait reviewers to get people in here to be all excited about Delta Force and then be like, yeah, it's actually dog water. But this review comes from an individual. I don't know if I'd get in trouble for reading his gamer tag. He's on a public server. It's fine. Skyman775. And it's called... It's a one-star review of this game. And I was reading this to my friend Sam. We were just having a good old laugh. The title of this review is Call of Battlefield 24 Timu Wii U Edition. Call of Battlefield 20... If you don't know, Battlefield has a game called 2024. Call of Battlefield 24 Timu. Get it? 24 Timu? 24 Timu Wii U Edition. It's just a clever title. I'm like, whoever thought of that, they deserve at least a gold star for that. But yeah, let's read this review real quick. It says, my expectations were way too high, man. Good first. The good stuff first, basically. Some of the warfare maps are genuinely cool. The gun builder is the best I've seen. Super fun attachment combos, and in parentheses, real world Olight WMLs are here. That's weapon mounted lights are here, and I feel represented. LOL. Close parentheses. Super fun attachment combos can be created here. The only problem is it's stuck in this game. They're like, oh man. He's like, all this other stuff looks good except the fact that it's here. Like, it's like if Warzone and Battlefield 2042 did the no pants dance and had a Chinese mobile game baby together. So the update is, after 8 hours of playing, so many cheesers, what the fuck? Can't disable crossplay in-game to help? Unacceptable. Next up, the Black Hawk Down campaign is solo only and frustratingly difficult. Not to mention very unfinished and bug-filled. Starting it up, the aim and look sensitivity settings defaulted hilariously to zero. No button to toggle aim instead of hold either. Upon death, you must restart the entire chapter because I guess checkpoints are too much to ask for in a free game. All in all, super underwhelmed and disappointed. I didn't pay for this game, of course, but I want a refund on my 10 hours, LOL. I love, he's like, this game was free and I still demand a refund. Like, that's a rough way to go out if you're a game developer. Like, your game is getting shredded. But yeah, that was bad game reviews. Of Delta Force by Skyman775. If you have a bad game review, message it to me on the Patreon. Patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. I'd like to hear some of your bad game reviews. If you can find one or send me a link to it, that'd be awesome. I'd love to do some more of those, because that's a fun thing I do sometimes when I can't figure out what to play or if I'm feeling guilty about playing video games at all. I just scroll through the comments and stuff and scroll through reviews and just give myself a good laugh. It's always fun. We're really excited about that. I'm not excited about Halloween. And here's the thing. Like, I never really celebrated Halloween. I don't care for Halloween. Like, it's not like my thing, my jam. If you like Halloween, that's your business. I'm fine with that. You know, whatever. You know, as long as you're not hurting yourself or anybody, that's usually my motto. As long as you're not hurting yourself or anybody else or, you know, breaking any laws, just have fun. Just go nuts. But the real big issue I have with Halloween and holidays in general is that they are starting like 2 months in advance. Like, it was August, mid-August, and I was already seeing Halloween stuff. I'm like, stop. Stop this shit. It's so irritating to watch, like, these holidays get so commercialized that they're doing this shit like 2 months in advance to get as much money out of people as they can. And people are dumb enough to buy for it, to go and buy it. We got to stop doing this shit, because the reason they push it further and further out is because of us. You know that, right? If you're one of those people who, like, you know, sets up an entire haunted house in your driveway and in your front lawn, and you start preparing this shit like at the beginning of October, you're the reason why it's showing up in August, because you can't let it stay in October. Like, you start as soon as the the needle on your clock, that the second hand turns around to 12:01. You're like at 12 midnight on October 1st. You're out there just throwing fake spider web and, you know, plastic skeletons and paper bats all over your lawn. And like, you're the reason why it's happening. But that's also the reason why it doesn't feel special. It doesn't feel unique or fun because you've beaten it to death for like a month and a half before the day even comes. I know like a lot of people set up their Christmas trees like the day after Thanksgiving. And I think that mostly that's because that is such a huge production. I still kind of like the idea of not setting it up until December. You know? I know that's largely just me, but one, you don't have to do as much work, and it's not on a day after everybody's already slammed full of food and, you know, alcohol probably, you know, but absolutely, you know, picking out on all the good Thanksgiving eats. Now you got to get up and do work. You know what I mean? Like, Friday should be your day off to recover from having had that Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday. But yeah, I like the idea of, you know, maybe waiting until December. Like, let's just wait. Whenever December 1st or December 3rd falls, you know, like whichever the first day that's not a weekday, make it like a Saturday thing, get everybody together, and like, let's just decorate. Or even if you can't be together, FaceTime each other. You know? Get on a Zoom call and put your camera in the living room so everybody can see as you're decorating your tree. You know, some people's families are spread all over the country. That'd be a cool exercise to do. You get to kind of talk to your family and whatnot, but you also don't have to worry about having people in your space, stepping on lights, tripping over ornaments, you know, breaking your little Christmas village pieces. But I think if we don't start putting the holidays back to like where the holidays belong, like it takes some of the magic out of it. It takes some of the fun and anticipation out of it, you know? I guess if you have it all if you have it all day, every day, you get bored. It's not as fun. It's not as vibrant. Oh, that's just me. But I'm going to say, if y'all going to keep celebrating Halloween, Thanksgiving is going to start September 1st from now on. And I'm going to start waking up Mariah, like literally, she's going to start waking up like the first, like the week after Halloween. I'm going to start playing All I Want for Christmas Is You starting November 1st. Actually, you know what? No, October 15th. I'm going to start playing Christmas songs on October 15th. This way you get to listen to it for 2 more weeks. I'm on this shit too. I've told people before, I start seeing this stuff, I'm going to start sending stuff to you every day. I got a list of all kinds of stuff. I will message you and only you. Your inbox is going to be flooded with Christmas songs. 3 a day for the next 3 months until Christmas hits. Keep on. You won't be able to read a single message from anybody else. I don't know. We'll end it with a little bit of news, I guess, because this is going to be kind of short. Like I said, my head's in a weird space. Did y'all hear about this Taylor Townsend thing? I'm sure you've heard about it at least. And I had heard about it, but I didn't really catch it because I don't really follow tennis like that. Okay, so for those of you who aren't aware, Taylor Townsend is a U.S. tennis player. I believe she's like 29, almost 30. And she's been playing in the U.S. Open, and she's been kind of a sensation. And a little bit of a sweetheart, too, because of her aggressive play style. She's that great power, explosive speed, and just skill. Like, just absolute skill. But I guess during one match during the U.S. Open this past week, she got into it with her opponent, Yelena Ostapenko, in which they got into a shouting match. She was, like, I guess, irritated at some kind of like a net ball or something that Taylor dropped on her. So she was like getting a little bitchy and moany about that. And she said that she had no class and no education. Now, the funky thing about this is, it's tennis, you know what I mean? Like, we've seen players blow up, flame out, all that kind of shit. You know, maybe people from the 80s remember John McEnroe, who had, like, one of the most explosive tempers in the sport. And it's a competitive sport, so people do get fired up. But I think it was calling her outside of, just calling her out and saying like she had no class and no education, with people took that as a dig at her being racist. Because if you hadn't guessed already, Yelena Ostapenko is not brown. She's very much a white woman. She's not American, but doesn't really change anything. And Taylor Townsend is a black woman. So they're like, this is just a really like classless act on Ostapenko's part because that's rude. That's racist. And I can't say one way or the other. I know it's fucking not cool. It's not cool because to be the classless one was the one who runs up and starts yelling at somebody else for a foul in a tennis match, is my personal opinion. And then you just mad because you're getting cooked. And even if you do end up winning, like, you still look like an asshole. Like, no one's going to be happy for you. Everybody's going to be sad that you're around. But yeah, Taylor Townsend has just kind of been like, we're gonna let that roll off our shoulders. And it was kind of funny that like everybody else is more mad about it than either one of them seemed to be, with the exception of Ostapenko, who seems to be really steamed about it because people are calling her a hypocrite. She got roasted by somebody else. I don't know who this dude is. Somebody called Anthony Roddick. I've never heard of this guy, Andy Roddick. I think he's probably a former tennis player or whatever. He's now like a commentator. But he was basically dug in on her. And he goes, this is one of the quotes from his interview. He goes, let's level set here. I like meltdowns. I think they're entertaining. He's like, I had meltdowns, so I can't criticize someone for a meltdown, which is my point. Right? That's what this dude's saying. He's like, I've been the one to like flame out and be like, yeah. So, all right, good. I can't say you shouldn't do that. He's like, you try not to be a complete hypocrite about these things. He's like, Ostapenko lecturing someone about class on a tennis court is like me lecturing someone about trying everything they can to stop losing their hair. It's the heights of hypocrisy, and that bothers me. He's like, if you have that opinion that you want to lecture someone about sportsmanship, I have a suggestion. Start looking people in the eye when you shake their hands. Let's start with that. And then about 15 steps later, you can criticize someone for not saying sorry on a let cord. I'm like, oh. Looks like people got a lot to say to this chick, and it seems like the internet's pretty much in Taylor Townsend's corner and be like, yeah, this chick's kind of an idiot. Sorry for your luck. So sad that you got beat a couple times, but you ended up winning. And like, I guess like Taylor's now like in the running for maybe a possible medal in like, women's doubles. I guess like her shots at a single title are done, and they're saying she's not expected to win the Grand Slam title, which is a lot of words that I don't completely fully understand. As far as tennis, because I just, like I said, I never really followed it much, but I do find it interesting to see when a conversation takes that tack. And you're like, this is racist. I'm like, is it really now? Because I don't like I do agree that there is racism. I'm not blind. I'm a black and brown man living in America, I'm pretty well aware that racism exists, right? But not everything is racism. But a lot of it is. And the way I say a lot of it is because a lot of times the racism that we're experiencing or that we find ourselves projecting out to other people is an institutionalized and internalized form of racism where certain thoughts and ideologies and structures that we have set up in our society, within our families, within ourselves, are kind of inherent to either our insular culture or, like I said, our family units or social circles. And we don't necessarily outwardly feel a certain kind of way about something, but we do internally have that shape and that dialogue with ourselves. It's just the me, myself, and I. These are my thinkies and feelies based on what I've been told or taught or raised to believe. And those get incorporated into the larger lexicon of how we deal with other human beings. And that's when we start to really shake things up a little bit and go, we have to shake things up. And go, how much of this is really what I think? How much of this is what I've been taught? And how much of this is actually problematic? And I think that this is one of those instances where maybe Ostapenko didn't really have any racist feelings externally. Like she might not actually be like, I hate you because you are black. But she may have, and it's a common misconception that I've seen over media, over just in looking at people from other countries. The portrayal of Black Americans is not a very flattering one. Just to put it diplomatically, the way that Black Americans are portrayed in media, music, television, film, in news, is not very flattering at all, if ever. And so maybe she's consumed enough of that without having any real experience with Black people from America or Black people in general. Maybe she's consumed enough of that that it's shaped her opinion in her head. And these are the things that she's regurgitating because it's all that she knows. Like I said, there's racism built into that even without an actual predetermined racial bias. Like nothing that's structurally set up in her life or in her day-to-day interactions with people. It's just a thing that she's come to understand and she's come to believe about Black people. And that's not to say that's her fault. But at the same time, you can definitely learn and know better. If you can use the internet to look that kind of shit up, you can use the internet to learn more about Black people and be more educated. That's a fair thing to say. But yeah, it's crazy that that's become the conversation. And I think it is kind of funny that you're seeing a lot more of people kind of showing who they are and what they're about. It's not happy times, but it is funny. Like RFK set to testify today in front of a Senate committee, a Senate Regulatory Committee. And I can't wait to hear Shaky Voice talk about like his thoughts on vaccines and why they shouldn't be mandated for school children. More crackpot theories about autism. Like that guy would be funnier if it weren't for the fact that he actually has power to do stuff. That's, I think, the scariest thing about these idiots is that they're so painfully and woefully stupid, but they have the authority to change the landscape of our lives and our country. And they're there. But there is pushback. I told you guys it was coming. We all knew it was coming. Even though, I mean, I'm going to say I said it because I did say it. But there's this idea that's been going around about soft secession. And if you're not familiar with this term, that's fine. I wondered that it's not necessarily a new idea, but the terminology might be pretty new. So the idea of soft secession is that democratically run states or quote unquote blue states tend to receive less federal income coming their way than they pay out in taxes and other, federally mandated funding. So they get less, but they give way more. In the inverse, most red states, generally speaking, a lot of red states tend to be very rural, very poor in terms of like economy and industry and, just domestic product in general. So they take more money than they pay in. They're also very loud about not wanting socialism, but they're very, very adamant about being ready to grab at the government teat when it's time to start to suckle. So socialism, when it's from Democrats, but federally mandated funding when it's for me, kind of thing. But basically what the idea is that blue states are subsidizing red states and we're paying, and I'm saying we, but I mean like, because Florida is definitely not a blue state, but blue states feel like we're paying for you to exist. So you and the federal government will grow very, very thirsty if we start to pull this teat back a little bit. And so if we don't pay you, you don't get no government subsidies. You don't get any food benefits. You know what I mean? You don't have certain programs that you may lean upon to conduct your day-to-day business. I'm like, we can shut this shit off and see how you like that. That's the idea behind soft secession. And a couple of states are actually playing around with the idea. California being one of the leaders, because Gavin Newsom is hilarious. But there are other democratically, led, run, and or blue states who are leaning that way. J.D. Pritzker in Chicago, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the Illinois state caucus are looking at it and going like, we start pinching this shit off, they're going to get thirsty real fast. We could probably change some policy just by cutting some dollars. It's the only language that they seem to understand is, the language of greed. So let's speak their language, If they can't send any federal money to X, Y, and Z states, you'll be like, well, guess why you can't have this money? Because your president is doing things that we said no to, And he's like, yes, yes. And I'm like, well, now I guess the people in Texas, Arizona, Florida, Oklahoma, Iowa, Ohio, they're going to starve. They're going to suffer. They're going to be sad and mad about it. And we can tell them, you can blame your president because he won't listen to us as people, the will of the people. And we're paying for you to have all this shit for free. You're welcome, by the way. Thank you for letting us serve you for free, to take a line from an HOA meeting. But yeah, you know, and he hasn't been a good steward of the money that we've given him, or the power that we've entrusted into the office of the presidency. You know, the power and the responsibility to take care of all Americans, not just the ones that kiss his ass. And if you can't be a good steward, we don't give you the stuff. You know what I mean? You're not going to take care of it. You're not going to take care of us. Well, then we're just not going to give it to you. So fuck that. How you like that? And you starve them out real quick when that happens. And that's happening too. It's happening in more places than we would like to admit. There's been a study recently. I'm trying to remember who this survey was conducted by. I know part of it was in conjunction with CNN doing interviews in and around the DC metro area. Whereas you probably remembered, Trump has decided to federalize the DC Metro Police and also deploy the National Guardsmen, a Guards Corps, into DC proper. So this is a clip from the article. I can also link this in the description as well if you want to check it out. But you can go to CNN.com and pull this up probably. I'm just going to go ahead and link it in there. National Guard article will go down next. I'm not going to read the entire thing, so you can check it out if you want to. But some little bites from it. One soldier said to his father that from 4 p.m. to 4 a.m., so graveyard shift, every day his only task is just to walk around Chinatown. That's all he's doing. Just walking around, being in uniform, probably being made to carry at least a sidearm. Walking the streets of Chinatown. Another one from Mississippi said to a loved one that she'd been repeatedly cursed at while she was out on patrol. Another soldier, said, who, like others quoted in this story, spoke to CNN on condition of anonymity because they're not authorized to speak to the media and feared reprisals. He says, we've gotten critically low on morale. So we haven't gotten critically low on morale, but we're failing fast, or falling fast. So imagine every day you go outside to do your job and somebody's like, fuck you. I hate you. I can't stand the fact that you're here. That's your life every day. Here's the thing. I kind of feel bad for these people, but I also kind of don't. Because you have a duty to disobey a direct order that you find to be morally objectionable. Now, the only unfortunate thing is if you decide to go AWOL, this particular government will absolutely throw the book at you because you have an authoritarian dickhead who wants everything to be done his way or the highway. But you got to decide if you want to stand on that business. You know what I mean? Like, do you want to be, you know, possibly court-martialed for disobeying a direct order because you find it morally reprehensible to be used as a federal, you know, basically a martial law presence? And you go, that's not what I signed up for. That's not what I'm going to do. There's no reason for me to be here, and I find this morally reprehensible. And who's going to stand up? So in a way, like, we don't have a choice. You do have a choice. It ain't a fun one, but you do have one. You could choose not to deploy. You could choose to go AWOL and be like, I'm not doing that. Well, what about, that's a choice that you also made too by signing up to be part of the National Guard. You subjected yourself to the possibility that this could happen. Now, it's not what you would have hoped for, and it's certainly not what you quote unquote signed up for. But if you didn't consider the very real possibility that particularly in this political climate as of late, we'll say over the last 6-7 years, forget like when it seemed kind of easy peasy under Joe Biden, but you had to know that Donald Trump hadn't gone away. And you had to hear all the rumblings about him coming back. If you re-up for this shit, this is kind of on you. And the fact that you have your own fellow countrymen looking you in the face, wanting to spit on you, telling you they hate you, cursing at you and stuff like that because you're walking around their streets just as an aggravated presence to a constituency and a populace that had no real issues, where crime was actually down according to their own police reporting. And the police ain't going to tell on themselves. They want to make themselves look good, right? So they're not, if they wanted to make themselves look like we need the help, they'd be like, crime is up right now, or we struggling, give us some help. They're like, nah, we're actually doing pretty good. And maybe it's not necessarily because of any policing efforts, but if crime is down, maybe they don't demand nearly as much funding. And that could look bad for them, right? If they're trying to keep some money flowing into the department, it actually might almost be to their benefit to say, hey, crime's up, we need some more money. But they're like, no, crime's actually down, so why are we doing this right now? It's a waste of taxpayer dollars. And that's one of the other issues that people are having too, because, you know, the people who are yelling at them, they're taxpayers as well. They're like, I pay your salary. The fact that you're here right now in my home is offensive to me. You know? And they're sitting there, basically sitting there being like, you know, security guards and gardeners. But it's just like, some of these people are just like, I don't get to be around my family right now because of this shit. And, you know, that's the other thing, too. It's like, yeah, like I said, you have a choice. And the choice is a shitty one. Because if you leave your deployment, your duty station, and be like, I'm going AWOL, I'm not going up there, and they arrest you, you're still going to be away from your family. But now you have a criminal record to boot. Couldn't be me, dog. That's why I left the guard. I was like, there's no way. Because if they wanted me to go and do some shit that I found morally objectionable, and then they were going to put me in jail for it anyway, because I was like, I don't want to do something that makes me feel bad in my heart. That's not the kind of service I'm trying to provide. Not this year. Not any year. But now this fool is talking about going to Chicago and Baltimore and New Orleans. I'm telling you, when you go to Chicago and Baltimore, it's gonna get bad. It's uncomfortable in Washington, D.C. It's gonna get bad in Chicago. It's gonna get bad in Baltimore. Again, mark my words. Those are two cities where if you start fucking around, you get fucked with. It's not going to be a good time for guards people who go there. Any National Guardsman or Guardswoman who goes there, I hate it for you. I would have just found another way to get out. You know what I mean? Tell them you got bone spurs. That seems to work. But yeah, this whole deployment into DC at present, these are just estimates, I think, from CNN, is costing $1 million each day. So, all that bullshit about trying to cut costs, you know, lower the overall deficit, reduce spending, you know, be more fiscally conservative and whatnot. Nah. Just about $1 million a day. So Kate Kuzminski, director of studies at the Center for New American Security, told CNN that rough calculations show the mission is likely costing more than $1 million a day, when taking into account the pay for more than 2,200 National Guard troops that are already out there. That's including housing, travel, food, the fuel they need to get their vehicles around, you know, other ideas and other concerns that need to be taken into account when you deploy that many people to a certain location. And it says the estimate is drawn from costs from the 2020 mobilization of roughly 5,000 National Guardsmen to DC, which was estimated to cost more than $2 million each day. That was in 2020. Remember COVID? Yeah. So that was fun. And also, you know, what else happened around then? In DC, 2020? January 6th? Yeah. $2 million. $2 million. So now we're looking at about $1 million a day. The deployment's been on for about 2.5 weeks, I think, maybe a little bit longer. So anybody want to do the math on that real quick? Yeah, we're looking at over 14, probably between $14 and $20 million over the last couple of weeks. Just for DC. That's just for Washington, DC. That says nothing of anything else. But no, this is the Reds and the MAGA. We're the policy of fiscal conservancy, man. We're looking out for the people. Are you? People are feeling the squeeze, they're already pissed off, and you're going to spend more of their money on something they didn't want in the first place? I'm telling you, the center of this is not going to hold. One of the other costs they mentioned up was an additional $5 million for a tent city that's also been approved. It hasn't been built yet. Contracts are showing that there's going to be about $600,000 in air conditioning rentals, and more than $500,000 for land mobile radios. So, yeah, they're spending money hand over fist for this deployment to make Trump feel like a king and a dictator. So he did it for you. He did it for you. He really did it for himself, but he did it for you, is what they'll tell you. And the other thing is, too, that some of these guards people are saying, this is actually worse for my family because I have a regular civilian job and I make more money at that job. So every day that I'm not here, I'm getting less money. Like, I get paid to be here, but I'm making less money somehow, and it's making things worse for my family. And that's one of the truly scary things about it, is some of these people might start making, like, cost-benefit analysis decisions and go, like, it's not worth it for me to be here. And you can't arrest all of us. You know what I mean? We know how to get into the armory. We know where the guns and the tanks are in our towns. If you want to come for all of us, we could just mobilize ourselves and fight back. Like, oh shit. They do know that, don't they? Probably not a good move. I mean, that would be probably the move I would think of. You know what I mean? If they're like, we're going to come and arrest you. Good luck trying. I know where I could find the keys to an M1 Abrams tank, body armor, and a couple of saws. You're not getting anywhere near me if I don't want you near me. You're going to definitely have to nuke this shit from Earth, from outer space. You know what I mean? You're not going to just come up on me. That's some wild, like, you know, dig yourself in kind of shit. But, I mean, you never know. There could be somebody who really would do that. Like, mostly this is just me being facetious and throwing conjecture out there. But I don't know how far off the mark I am. People can get, you press people hard enough, they get real different real fast. You know? So, yeah, it's really crazy. It says, typically, guard members only receive full military benefits like housing allowance or healthcare coverage when they're on active orders for more than 30 days. So, not only that, like I said, they're being put up in housing and hotels and whatnot, but they're not getting any of this money. So, while they're not getting the money that they do need to take care of their homes, because they're, you know, out on deployment, they're also going to have to deal with their jobs and be like, you're going to be gone for how long to do what? Yeah, Frank, I think we're going to have to find somebody else. So then you could probably lose your job because you're on this dumbass deployment. And they can't pay you for being gone unless you've stacked up enough PTO somehow somewhere. So you could end up losing your car, losing your apartment, losing your job. Shit, you might even lose your family. You fuck around and stay too long. It's just weird that some people are super excited about it. And, you know, you're like, there's always a dumbass. And then here we go. The mother of a guardsman from Tennessee says, I mean, we've got to get these cities cleaned up. We're very much pro boots on the ground. If that's what it takes, we back the troops. So, you know, there's that. That kind of stupid mentality. This is also probably from the mouth of somebody who's never been off their mountain in Appalachia. So, take that with a grain of salt. Her kid's probably, she's probably seen more of the world in picture books than she's ever seen in real life. And that's just, I mean, that's the kind of stupidity that we see. But again, this is what they wanted, right? You wanted this Donald Trump guy? He's not being a good steward of your money, of your trust, of the power and the responsibility that he has. I mean, he hasn't been good steward of anything he got personally. So why would he be good at this now, all of a sudden? Why would you think that all of a sudden now that he's president again and he was ruining shit the first time, then he's, well, he's got it together this time. Fuck out of here with that. Miss me all the way with that shit. Speaking of being bad stewards, the HOA is finally coming to a meeting this week. They're supposed to pop together sometime this afternoon. Of course, as last time, they want to spring this on us with the 48 hour notice. 48 hours and 21 minutes before we're supposed to know about it. They put it out there, which is really just a giant middle finger to the community, personally. Because if they wanted to do this in an upright manner, then they would have gone ahead and given everybody advance notice, like they heard at the last meeting, you know, a month ago. Like, hey, we need more notice. And then the meeting 2 weeks ago. That we need more notice so people can be here so we can conduct business as a community. And then they did it again. They're like, fuck you, we're going to do what we want. Okay? Just remember, just because you might get voted out of the board seats doesn't mean that you didn't evaporate. We know where you live. You live amongst us. Why would you actively antagonize your neighbors? I don't know. I don't know. And I can't begin to think of how stupid you have to be to think that you can continually antagonize your neighbors, disenfranchise them, be as obtuse and opaque as possible when it comes to the communication about what's happening in their communities and what's going on with their HOA dollars, to the point that you think that they're going to just let it sit, let it ride? That's a special kind of stupid I'm not familiar with. I want to know what that's like and if you can bottle it and sell it. Because it has to be weaponized somehow. That is sincerely weaponized stupidity and arrogance at its finest. But, you know, there's enough people who are starting to get pissed off now that it's not going to stand. And some of these people are definitely going to take these other members of the board to task. And it's not going to be pretty. Like I said, you are one person out of a sea of other people. Your life can get real uncomfortable real fast because your neighbors will know who you are and what you've done to them. So nothing else really needs to be said except for what you've done. And then they will land on you. And you will not feel very much welcome here. And that's unfortunate because, you know, you've had every opportunity to change. You've had every opportunity to interact with the community in a better way. But you haven't been good stewards, again, of the power and responsibility that was vested in you by the community. We gave our trust to you and you've abused it. Now you have to pay the price. I'm very interested to see what happens at the end of this meeting today. As for me, I need to go and get some food. It is just about noon and I have had a cup of hot cocoa and that is it for today. That's a bubble. I'm about to say, if that's a lint in my hot chocolate, we're about to have a fucking problem. All right, maybe it's time for me to go and get some food, but it's definitely time for me to get up out of here and put this episode up for you guys to listen to. Thanks again for another wonderful episode. Send me your comments, emails, questions, whatever to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Check out the Blue Sky, w1studios.bsky.social. Send me comments and whatnot over there. Send me some of your bad game reviews. If you got a link to a bad game review that you think is hilarious, that'd be awesome. If you got any, like I said, comments or questions, curiosities, just hit me up. Looking forward to reading some more of that stuff. Check out the Patreon. And I put up the stuff about the commissions, as well as I got an episode where I talk about some cool new music I've run into, and some music, media and gaming stuff that I want to put together. So keep your eyes on the Patreon over the course of the weekend, and you should be able to see those very soon. In the meantime, I'm Link Flores. You guys are awesome. And I'll catch you ramblers a little further on down the road. See you, wanderers. Peace.